Lord, teach us to pray. When I was a kid, I was a weird child. Of course, I wanted to go to church all the time. But my great-grandmother would take me every Sunday during the summer to St. Luke's on the Hill in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And as soon as we got to church, I was about seven when I finally asked this question. As soon as we got to church, she'd go down on one knee in the pew and go like this. And I'd look at her and say, "Do you have a headache?" And she'd, "No, I'm praying." But why? Is there something, like, I don't understand the gesture. The gesture made no sense to me at all. So as I strolled through life, I learned not to ask stupid questions because I never got the answer I wanted. I was one of those kids who, every time they gave me an explanation, there was always a why right after it. Why? And when they didn't have the answer, that was the time to shut up and go eat your lunch or do something. But I go through life thinking, okay, I don't get that. So I was never really good at spontaneous prayer. I thought, if God knows what I'm thinking all the time, then he's pretty much sure I'm talking to him all the time. So I didn't know how to formulate a specific prayer. And I was raised Roman Catholic, so, I mean, there was a long list of prayers that you had to memorize, especially in the late 70s and early 80s. One of the ones that you had to memorize in grade two was your act of contrition. And the act of contrition, which he said after confession, was, you know, "Oh Lord, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee." Now, not being the brightest kid in the world, I always said, "Oh Lord, I'm hardly sorry for having offended thee." And the priest corrected me in the box, of course. No, that's not right. Oops. Anyway, I moved on through life. I started working in the church when I was 24 years old. And I began what was a 20-year war with the Mary Mumblers. The Mary Mumblers were the dear ladies and men who said the rosary 20 minutes before Mass every Sunday. Now, what irked me about that was that I was a musician, and the only place I had to warm up and get the choir ready was in the choir loft before Mass. So I would continually ask them, "Would you please go pray the rosary in the chapel?" "No, we need to do it in the church." "Why?" "That why, right?" "Because that's where God hears us." "Oh, really? Okay, so God doesn't hear you when you're praying by the lake, when you're praying over your lunch, when you're praying on the mountain. God only hears you in church?" No, I never bought that. However, they got even with me. A lady brought me an article one day. It said, "People who do mantras live longer." I thought, mantras. Oh, I get it. So you say 50 Hail Marys in a row. That's a mantra, and you're going to live longer than me because I'm just being mean and I want to practice in the church. So I thought, okay, give it up. Give it up. You're never going to win this war. They're going to keep saying the rosary 20 minutes before Mass every Sunday, and I don't have a pipe organ in my living room, so I'll just have to do it this way. But it made me wonder about prayer in general and how I offer it and how we offer it and the idea of wrong and right in prayer. First of all, there is no wrong. There's no such thing as wrong prayer. My prayer life was a mystery to me for a long time. I used to think it was all just about when I did the music in church and nothing else. And then I realized through my discernment process that, my conversations with God in my head were my prayer life. And my conversations with God in my head usually began, "Seriously?" Always that. I challenged all the way my discernment. "No, this isn't happening to me. I'm not going to do this. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. So you keep on dragging me down this road, but I'm not going to go." And literally, I was kneeling in the cathedral when I realized it was finally going to happen. But I still had this issue with spontaneous prayer. I came from this background of, you know, everything was in order for you. It was high church. So the idea that someone would break into prayer was just completely foreign to me, completely foreign. So I thought, what am I doing wrong? Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. It's just not the way I'm wired. And there's nothing wrong with not being able to do spontaneous prayer. I've been in many groups, and I'm sure some of you are in that space. If someone looks at you and say, "Will you lead us in prayer?" You go, "Please not me. No, oh my God, what am I going to say?" And I used to be that person. But I realized, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as what you're doing with your prayer is rooted in the right way. And what I'm saying there is, I'm not going to pray to God that I win Lotto Max on next Tuesday. I would like to, but I'm pretty sure God's just going to say, right, that's going to happen. But what I do pray for is I pray for the strength to do things when I finally reach the end of that road. When I just can't do it anymore and I have to say, okay, you know what? I have done all that I can. And now I'm going to offer this over to God. And Barry and I, in our 12 years together, have had our backs against the wall a few times. And there's times we said, you know what? Let's not worry about it anymore. Let's just say, God, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't think there's ever been a time that we haven't found peace that way. It's surprising because you can get yourself into a real, real terrible rut and thinking, you know, life is just being really crappy to me and I can't do anything about it, but yet I'm just going to say, God, it's up to you now. And it has worked. Because I believe. Part of our prayer is our belief. We believe that we're going to receive because we have faith. So in this community, I have found a lot of things, but the one thing I have found that really excites me is the power of what we do here on Sunday morning collectively. There is nothing more powerful than the collective unified prayer of a community. Nothing more powerful. And sometimes it can be a simple thing as praying for someone who just died. It touched our heart in a way. Or praying that we made it through synod. I didn't pray for that. But I think that the answers come. We just sometimes don't see them. They're right in front of our faces, but sometimes we just don't see it. But I believe in it. I believe in prayer. I believe it's necessary. I believe it centers us. I believe it calms us. I believe it brings us peace. But we have to believe. How many times did we hear over social media or on television? I remember President Obama, his last year in office, I'm sick of offering thoughts and prayers every time I hear of a mass shooting. Why is he sick of that? Because he knows the answer to fix that problem. So when we know the answer and we're not doing it, no amount of prayer and thoughts are going to help. And that's frustrating because then prayer gets reduced to something that's very trite. You know, I offer you my prayers and support. Well, do you really? If you know the answer, or if you know what you can do to fix it, then you're not really doing what the prayer is intended to do. So the challenge for us in the modern age is when we're asking for something, make sure that we've done all that we can to help ourselves first. I'm not going to sit, you know, get up in the morning and sit inside of my bed and say, God, help me get through this day. I have to get through the day. It's not God's responsibility to get me through the day. What I will ask for is strength. I'll ask for peace. I'll ask for love. I'll ask for wisdom. Show me the way, and I'll go. I did come willingly, believe it or not, to my ordination. I come willingly every Sunday. This is not my happy place. You all know that. I detest speaking in front of people. But God made me do it. He did. I prayed the opposite direction, and he went, no, you're going to go this way instead. It's true. There is peace in accepting what God's will is for you. And there's peace in asking. There's peace in knowing that when you do it in love and patience and joy and purpose, it will be answered. God bless.